You, my friend, are so not the usual leader, and neither am I. We don't think outside the box. Hell, we blow the box up. Welcome to People First, Profits Second, a podcast about leadership excellence for rebels and badass leaders. I'm your host, Charlene Norman. You are now tuned in to provocative and unfiltered wisdom, the likes of which you've probably not yet heard in the mainstream. Everything you will hear, I promise, works. Even the swearing. Yep. You want to make more of an impact, right? Give me your ears and an open mind. I will give you stories, evidence, and proof. So come on in. Let's get started. Hello, badass leaders and rebels. Today, let's talk about your speaking and writing style. Now, some of you might want to pick those words apart and say, you want to talk about communication. No, I don't. I want to talk about how you convey your thoughts to others. When I was 30 years old, I was the executive assistant to the president. People like to think I was his secretary, but I was not. I was his eyes and ears. I watched and helped him as he ran a $1.5 billion global company. Everywhere he went, I went. Oh, there were a ton of meetings, subsidiary meetings, board meetings, senior staff meetings. I traveled the world with him and basically had a fantastic cat seat or sidecar chair. And I got to see how a company functions, how all the pieces fit together, and I ultimately understood on a very intimate basis what it takes to lead companies. From the outside, it appeared that I had an incredibly prestigious and glamorous job. On the inside, though, not so much. I worked 70 or 80 hours a week. I dealt with the senior level sniping that frequently went on behind the scenes. I spoke truth to power more times than I can remember, and I ended up standing in for him when he did not want to or did not have the time to do something or go somewhere. Let me tell you, the CEO had an ego the size of four rail cars strung together. And he regularly pissed off everybody, one, two, and three levels below him. In fact, that happened every single day. Mainly because he always had an answer, even when he didn't. And while I frequently told him to dial down his bravado with his own boss and the board of directors, ultimately, he did not take my counsel. And ultimately, he was fired from his job. Arrogant, old white male, huge entitlement attitude, and scornful of most everyone in his universe. Yet, he took a liking to me. He was incredibly patient with me. He answered every one of my silly questions, and he taught me something valuable I never forgot. The gatekeeper in Guatemala. Never forget the gatekeeper in Guatemala. Now, badass leader, I can imagine you right now going, WTF? What are you talking about? Well, see, we were a global company and English was not always the first language. Much like our country is today, right? It's very multinational and English is not the first language for most folks, especially in big cities. Well, the big boss knew that whatever he said to anybody at any level in the company could be easily misinterpreted. Like, how many times are we misinterpreted? So anytime someone wrote something for him, told him he needed to fly out and talk to someone, had to give a presentation, send an email, his first words were always about the poor gatekeeper in Guatemala. I'd heard about this man for at least the 75th time, and I finally asked the big guy, whatever are you getting at? And here's what he told me. Quote, The gatekeeper in Guatemala is an uneducated, middle-aged guy. He does not speak English outside of a few sentences. His main job is to check the incoming and outgoing truck traffic for the facility. He's a very proud man, and he's really good at his job. He's been there for 20 years, monitoring the trucks going in and going out of the gate. Don't forget, Guatemala is a much different country from Canada, so his personal life is very different from ours. Plus, we're from head office, so in his mind, head office has no impact on his life, and therefore he has no need to be nice or to listen to us. That means anything we say to him must be in the simplest of terms and must be framed in something that is meaningful to him. Unquote. Now let me stop for a moment. I don't care if you own your own company. I don't care if you work for someone else. It doesn't matter if you write copy for customers, call customers, give presentations to customers, suppliers, bankers, whether you manage a small staff or a gigantic staff. This is brilliant advice. Whatever we say or write must be in the simplest of terms and must be framed in something that is meaningful to the other person. I got to share with you, working for the big man forced me to change the way that I thought. It made me realize what I did was not important. It was how I made the other guy feel. It made me really think through what was the most important takeaway I wanted to leave with every single interaction I had. It made me simplify my language. It caused me to remove all the big words or the corporate jargon garbage and made me really focus in on the WIFM, what's in it for me, for the other person. Did I get it right? No. No. Perfection is impossible, and I gotta admit, even today, I still screw it up. What I did do, though, was learn how to speak to be understood, not to be heard. I developed a reputation for simplifying the most complex problems. Learned never to leave until the other person totally understood what I needed, to always be mega prepared, and also to write and speak at a grade 8 level. Grade 8. Today, you can do exactly the same thing. Anytime you need to give a presentation, talk to your staff or your bosses or your customers or your suppliers or your banker or your kids or your spousal unit, think about the poor gatekeeper in Guatemala. What is the simplest way you can get your message across? What are the most important points you need to convey? What does your audience want to hear about the most? What specific terms do they use? I encourage you to write it all down. I type. I use Word. And Word has the most useful function called check spelling and grammar. Now, as part of that function, it actually tells you what grade level your writing is. Here's a fun fact. If your grade level is higher than grade 8, no matter how educated, no matter how smart your audience is, you will always lose your audience. So try and speak and write to a grade 8 level or below. That's what I mean by simplify. And if some of you are saying you can't write to save your soul, there are some very cheap software packages available now that can help you. I personally use Grammarly. It's the best $100 or so I can spend in a year. And while we're talking, you know those days you get so frustrated because you've been trying to explain something and there's that one person who simply doesn't get it? And you've repeated yourself at least 10 times, you begin to feel like you're talking Greek even though you have no Greek DNA in your body. So you do what many of us do. You're so frustrated, you start talking jargon. Like, listen, if we open up our kimonos and put this on overdrive ASAP, we just need to pick all the low-hanging fruit and then bake this cake. And after that, we clearly demonstrate We're best in breed because we boost the EBITDA and drive it all home. Yeah, complete mumbo jumbo, right? And we've all heard people speak like that. And the truth is, we've probably all spoke like that too. And we feel good because we've just demonstrated to ourselves that we're the smartest in the room. Except the unfortunate fact is, nobody has any freaking clue what the hell we just said. And if we are brutally honest, we just blathered 45 words of absolute nothingness. So, a few years ago, I was leading a continuous improvement project. I knew we could do it. And even though others didn't believe me, I had everyone pulling in the same direction. Everyone except the shipping manager. He was a crappy piece of work, and he refused to help or sign on. He had the biggest chip on his shoulder, and he made everyone's life miserable. Every place has one of those, right? So I was out to reduce the shipping errors and get all the screw-ups made eliminated. I asked the shipping manager to watch and then report on some metrics at the weekly staff meeting. He didn't. All he did was give excuses. This went on for about 6 weeks. One day I was livid and I went out to his office. I closed the door and I prepared myself for a nasty conversation. His office was a pigsty and I couldn't find a healthy place to sit down, so I stood. We started talking. Actually, that's a lie. I started going on in jargon speak about what I needed and what I expected him to do, which successfully pissed him off, and then we got to an impasse. I made a snide comment about his filthy office, which unleashed a torrent of bitterness out of him. And as he was venting and swearing, I looked at his desk and I saw a bunch of squiggles and lines on his blotter. Now, I can't honestly tell you where this came from, but I asked him to explain his squiggles and lines. Well, it turns out those scratchings were how he managed his team and his function. He could point to any day and tell me what was shipped, what was screwed up, whether the sun was shining, how many truckloads came in, went out, which was in perfect shape. Then he showed me those squiggles and lines each month, and then last year, and the year before that. I got quite excited because I realized he had all the information plus that I wanted him to report each month. The difference was it was his way of talking, not mine. In other words, I'd forgotten about the gatekeeper in Guatemala concept. I was so focused on the fact that he wasn't delivering, I ignored the fact he had no idea where I was coming from and what was in it for him. That day we made a pact. I would get his office painted and spruced up for the first time in 20 years, and he would present his way of tracking stuff to satisfy our continuous improvement project. Here's the best part. Inside of 6 months, he had eliminated every single shipping error imaginable, would stop me regularly and quote in my terms what his stats were, and ultimately, he became one of my staunchest supporters. So, rebel leaders, my point this week is you want to speak and write to be understood, not just to be heard. Focus on the other person. What do they really need to know? How do you want them to feel? Simplify, 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 because the truth is nobody will ever be as clear about what you want as you. So even when you're mad, annoyed, frustrated, think about the gatekeeper in Guatemala. I promise it'll make your life so much easier. You know, just like I do, anything is possible. There are just two things you need: focus and commitment. I believe in you. I know you can make the impact you want. Have a terrific week. This podcast was brought to you by Bulletproof Consulting. We believe in helping you change your thinking for the better. Imagine the impact you could make with more. Interested in learning how? Look them up at bulletproofconsulting.ca.